This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi breaking things down on this NFL Sunday, week four in the National Football League. And we already have a game that's going underway at halftime between the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. Jacksonville up 17-0. They closed as a 3-point favorite, total 42.5. And right now in the live market, they are a 17.5 point favorite. That gives you a little bit of an indication how things have been going here for the Atlanta Falcons, total down to 37.5 here. Real quick, just a quick analysis on the second half here, what we should expect to see going forward, and then we'll get into the rest of the games that we have to hit this hour.
Well, we know we got five drives left in the game, right? Atlanta has no margin for error. They can't turn the ball over. They've got to get points on this opening drive to get them back in the game. And if you're Jacksonville, you've got to make them work the ball down the field. No big plays. Let them eat the clock. The clock's their opponent as much as the Jaguars are, so let them eat clock. But you also know, as a football team, you need to get to 27. You need 10 more points here. You got to win the third and fourth quarter in some fashion, because when you look at it, they haven't been able to make a big play. Can't allow big plays. So you're in control of the game. You're also in the lead. But this opening drive is going to be really critical. And if you're Mike Caldwell and if you're Doug Peterson, what you're telling him coming out at halftime, Mike, use your five best calls this drive. Make sure we get ourselves in the best defenses we think, where we can pressure him and we can create some havoc and get him into a negative play. This opening drive from a play caller sheet for Jacksonville is critical, but also for Arthur Smith, it's critical too, because he has no margin for error.
And the Atlanta Falcons will start the second half with the football. Desmond Ridder in the first half, 9 of 14, 73 yards, two interceptions, one of them being a pick six. Any chance that we see Taylor Heinicke in the second half?
Well, I don't think so, because I think if this game stays out of reach like this, Heinicke's not going to bring him back in. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is, once you make that move, Femi, what do you do next week?
Yeah.
Like, you're going back to him? You got to see. This is a game where maybe you just need to see if he can work his way through it, because you've committed to him. You didn't commit to him for just a week. You committed to him for the season. You made every decision this offseason based on him being a good player. I think you can bail on this after week four and down 17-0. I think you got to take a look at that, because remember, this is all second-order thinking. Once you make that move, where are you going? Whereas if the Jets make the move, they know they're never going back to Zach Wilson again.
Well, let's get into that game here. The Sunday Night Football game, the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets. Right now, Kansas City is an 8.5 point favorite, total 41.5. This is the highest bet game in terms of the highest handle over at DraftKings here. And I think a lot of people are putting Kansas City in those teasers, those 6-point teasers, so you can go from 8.5 down to 2.5. Any chance that the Jets can pull off an upset, or at least maybe keep this thing competitive with Zach Wilson behind center?
All right, well, let's look at it this way. How many points do you think the Jets' offense could legitimately score against this defense? 13?
Oh, man.
So what you're counting on for them to win is you're counting on your defense to get to Mahomes to make a mistake. Now, we know that this defense hasn't played very well, right? We know this defense hasn't played well the last 2 weeks. I mean, when you look at it, they've given up 150 yards to New England last year, 157 and 134. The good news is tonight, we know that Andy doesn't like to run the ball. He's not going to be committed to running the ball like New England was, right? They haven't forced a turnover in 2 weeks either. They've scored 10 points in each game. So there's a lot of things that have to go well for you to beat the Chiefs. And to me, I think clearly if Wilson gets off to a slow start, I think you owe it to your team, even though he may not be ready to play for everything, you owe it to your team to put Simeon in there, because you got no chance to win.
And this is one that you're comfortable making, that this is the point of no return. Because you asked, the second order thinking, can you go back to Zach Wilson? It's like, you never want to go back.
You're not going back to Zach Wilson. Yeah. You're not going back to him. You know, and you can't go back to him. I mean, the team won't let you go back to him. The team doesn't want him to be in there to begin with right now. And so if he comes out and his first two drives are bad, and he's got Spagnuolo blitzing him and attacking the pocket, which he will do, and they can't block Chris Jones, you know, this is an offensive line that's going to struggle all year against a defense that has played at a high, high level all year.
Yeah. If he struggles in those first two drives, the boo birds that you will hear on the broadcast tonight, It's going to be loud. You might be able to hear it all the way here in Las Vegas from what's going on at MetLife Stadium. But that is Chiefs and the New York Jets. Let's talk about the Cowboys and the Patriots down in Jerry World later on this afternoon. New England has been getting bet even in this morning here. We're down to 6, the point spread the Cowboys favored. Total 43. Cowboys getting good news on the offensive line. Zach Martin, Tyler Biadasz, those interior guys who missed last week's game. Looks like they'll be good to go. But the market is interested in Belichick getting 6.
Well, I think this, look, New England matches up to him. I mean, New England matches up to him well. I mean, they're physical enough up front to match up to him, right? They're physical enough to match up to him up front. Here we go. Jacksonville gives up a big play on a run play. Yeah. And this is what you can't do. This is what I talked about coming out at halftime. You've got to be able to have your 5 best calls. You've got to shore it up. That's what a head coach's job is, to understand it. And then we're a gap short on the back end. So anyway, I think New England really matches up well to him. They physically can match up to him. And we haven't really seen what Dallas, you know, they got to take CeeDee Lamb away, force the ball to Gallup. Now, New England's injured in their secondary. There's no question about that. But they'll do a good job of taking Lamb out of the game, and they'll force the ball to go to Gallup or to Brandon Cooks or someone else and to see. But they know they need to stop the run game. I think that's going to be the key, right?
Yeah.
You know, they've got to be able, you know, Dallas has run for 122 yards against the Giants. They ran for 134 against the Jets, and last week they ran for 185. Only turned the ball over one time. But they're going to have to, New England's going to have to stop the run, put a little bit of pressure on Dak to see if he can execute and, you know, and try to create some turnovers. Last week, Mac Jones did not turn the ball over, didn't make spectacular plays, but made good plays. Now he's 0 for 10 against the spread when he's been an underdog, which has got to concern you. He's going to have to make some really good throws.
Yeah, he's lost 11 consecutive starts straight up and against the spread as an underdog. Is there anything that better should read into that? Is does that apply into this game? Like, is that something that Mac Jones, once he faces tougher competition, can't overcome?
Yeah, I think it's really about that. I mean, it's as simple as that. Can he put the ball into tight windows? Can he make the critical throw? I mean, last week against the Jets, we saw this. You know, he's got a 3rd and 3. He decides to throw a switch fade down the field. It made no reason. They needed to get a first down to win the game. Then they get the ball back again, and they need another first down, 3rd and 6, and he throws. I don't even know where that ball was going. So to me, I think that's got to show up. He's got to make good decisions, and he's got to make really good throws. And one thing you see when you watch that Arizona tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arizona moved the football on him. I mean, they gained 400 yards, 222 on the ground. Now, you won't start out gaining a lot of yards on the ground, but you can, if you can block this team and if you can take care of Parsons and not allow him to create turnovers. And they had 7 turnovers in the first 2 weeks. Last week, they didn't have any.
What do you make of this? Because I've sort of been thinking about this game from like a live wagering angle, to where if New England is able to get control of this game in the live markets, like, maybe it's a chance to take a look at New England money line, because like you mentioned, Dallas's run defense is susceptible to physical play. And we saw them get ran all over last week in Arizona. But on the flip side of it, if Dallas gains control and now New England has to play from behind, do you think that it's Cowboys are able to shut off the water and unleash those pass rushers with Parsons and Lawrence and the crew and make life difficult for New England? Like, is it whoever can gain control in that first half is more likely to go ahead and win the game? I know that sounds silly, like, of course they are, but like, just from a betting angle, like, I feel like it's, especially in this game, it really matters.
New England's not a good play from behind team. I mean, they're just not built that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've got some issues in their offensive line. Cole Strange won't play today. They got Trent Brown will, so they'll put in the young rookie Mapu in there at left guard, who's actually a really good player. So I don't think that's going to affect them. The secondary is the issue. Jonathan Jones isn't going to play. He didn't make the trip. Sean Wade, their 3rd corner, he wasn't, you know, he's got a bad shoulder. Whether he plays or not, I don't know. But they're going to have to do a good job of taking away CeeDee Lamb and making Prescott have to beat them with throws down the field. If they don't allow them to run the football, this will be a tight game going in the 4th quarter.
Ooh, maybe the game is starting to tighten up a little bit in London. We'll see. Did he catch that ball, or are they saying it's incomplete? It looks like it's a catch, I think. Looks like it's a touchdown for the Atlanta Falcons. I believe that is to Drake.
That's the drive London. You had to stop him on. That's why you didn't want to get into in-game betting, you know, here, because you needed to see it. And this is classic Jacksonville. They don't have that eye of the tiger. You know, this is where, you know, you get concerned in terms of the details of the team. Like, you got to win this drive. You had to come out. You had to have your five best calls. You had to force them. They were going to come out with their best stuff. You had to come out with your best stuff. Now you got a football game. Now this next drive, if you're Peterson, you got to have really good calls here. You're going to have to get points here because the momentum has shifted.
It's 17-7. Heck of a drive for the Falcons. A got-to-have-it drive. And now the in-game numbers. Jacksonville is an 11.5-point favorite total, back up to 41.5. So we'll see what happens on this drive. But it feels like a critical drive to start off this second half with the Jaguars. Now their lead being cut to 10. We'll see what happens with that one. But why don't
you see what happened here, too?
Yep.
Arthur didn't have to change his game plan. He didn't have to change his game plan. He stayed balanced. He got the big run out of Robinson. Got a decent throw on a back shoulder. You know, again, it's a straight throw. It's a pitcher-catcher throw. That's what he wants to throw.
And, of course, the your boy Ian Rappaport over at NFL Network says, a Drake London touchdown in London. How about that? On a Sunday morning. The story writes itself.
I mean, who knew, right?
Who knew? We said maybe that was was there some sort of a boost, a Drake London anytime TD boost over in London? Like, there's somebody should have capitalized on that over at DraftKings to bet Drake London anytime touchdown, Drake London, just anything with London involved, because he's in London. He's back home. So we'll see if they can go ahead and make this a closer game. But we're down 17-7 is the score. I'm on the Atlanta Falcons, unfortunately. We'll see if they can get this thing back into it. 11.5. 10.5 is actually now the live market. 41.5 is our live total. We'll continue to break down games on the other side, starting with the game that everyone's interested in, the Broncos and the Chicago Bears. Who's going to win that game and get their first victory of the season? We'll discuss it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 40% off our football season special today when you use promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Last day is today, so get that done. Promo code Lombardi, 40% off. You don't want to miss it. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi in New Jersey, Femi Abebefe here in downtown Las Vegas. Right now in London, Jacksonville has a 17-7 lead here with their first drive of the second half. Opening drive of this second half was a touchdown drive for the Atlanta Falcons to make this 17-7. But let's continue our analysis of the games later on today. And we actually have some movement in this game that we're about to talk about, and that's in the Broncos and the Bears. Denver was around a 3.5-point favorite, 3.5 over at DraftKings, still minus 102, total 46.5. But the consensus number is down to 3. So interest here on game day morning on the Chicago Bears. And to that I say, God bless you, those people betting Chicago in this spot. But what's your analysis here, Michael? Broncos, Bears, the battle of 0-3s.
Well, look, Denver's defense is beat up. I mean, you know, they don't have a lot of the guys that they need. I mean, Josie Jules is not going to play. You know, they haven't really played very well in the secondary. They can't really rush the passer. Offensively, I mean, I think Russell has given them pretty much what they need. Mm-hmm. But the defense, with lack of effort, lack of tackling last week, has got to put you in a concern. I think this is the right number. I was shocked to me that it was that 3.5 to me made no sense. I mean, this is two teams that are probably, you know, both have deficiencies in each side of the ball. Denver's going to be able to run the ball. Chicago's secondary, again, they're missing three quarters of the secondary. Their defensive front isn't good enough. They can't really stop anybody on defense. I mean, they're not, you know, they're 31st in the league in yards allowed. They're 31st in points allowed, you know, and so they can't stop anybody, can't stop the run. They're 8th in the league, I mean, 30th in the league in rushing attempts against them, and they're 20th in the yards. Now, the average per attempt is only 8th, but to me, people can control the football against them, and they make a lot of plays against them. So it's challenging. I'm a no play on this game. I don't trust. Mm-hmm. I've been on Denver, I think, 3 weeks in a row, and it was on them against Washington, and I thought that was a. And then last week they just, to me, they're just so beat up on offense. a defense that I think it's hard for you to trust them. And can they tackle Fields when he takes off and runs? I mean, I fully expect Fields to run the ball more today than he ever has.
Yeah, to your point on the Chicago secondary, their two best DBs, Jalen Johnson and Eddie Jackson, those guys are out. Then Josh Blackwell, the slot corner, he's on IR. So it's like it's just a banged up Chicago secondary, and it's a Chicago defense that's been putrid throughout this season. So if I was still in Survivor, I actually think I would have taken Denver in this spot. I'd have rolled the dice and taken Denver. Wow. But maybe that's why I'm not in Survivor, because I do stuff like that. And
you just risk it. I mean, you know, you have to understand the Eberflus defense is built on creating turnovers, right? Yeah. And they haven't created turnovers. They have two turnovers on the season. Both of them came by way of Blaine Gabbert. And so that's a huge stop here by Atlanta. Yeah. Atlanta got off the field. You know, they had a fourth and third and 11, and they got off the field. It's a big, huge drive. So the game has shifted. I'm sure that the number is going to go in favor of Atlanta a little bit. It's going to tick back down. But going back to Chicago, they can't turn the ball over. They don't have enough team speed on defense to turn it over. I think Wilson plays well, but I also think this is a game that could go over. I know it sounds crazy, but I think it could go over because I think both defenses, I mean, look, it opened at 44 and it went up to 46.5. So most people kind of agree with that. There's 47s out there. I mean, I see one shop 48.5. So people tend to like the over here because I do think this game will be in the 20s. Not because both offenses are good, but because both defenses aren't.
Yeah, it doesn't sound crazy at all. Oh, I think this is over a pass if you're interested in betting the total here. 46.5, I would still like the over in that spot because like the defense is just absolutely atrocious on both sides of the ball. Speaking of another 0-3 battle here as we get this fun slate on our hands, the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Charlotte take on the Carolina Panthers, and the Vikings are now 5-point favorites as the consensus number is still 4.5 at DraftKings. 46.5 is our total here as these two teams try to get into the win column.
Well, see, here's a great lesson for us to learn as bettors, right? Circus contest comes out on Thursday around 1 o'clock East Coast time. They post their numbers. They had 5 in this game, and the line then was between 4 and 4.5. And they accurately got this line well. They knew it was going to trend to 5 because the injuries of Carolina's defense, starting Bryce Young again, their inability to play well up front. I mean, Minnesota is really a good team, but unfortunately, they do what bad teams do. They turn it over. Six turnovers inside the red zone. I think 4 of them inside the 6. You know, Cousins has thrown for more yards than even Tua has, and we know how good Tua's been playing all year. So for me, this is a game where when you break it down, I really think that Minnesota will move the football effectively, and they can convert third downs. If they can protect, I think they've got a chance. But the turnover margin, you know, that's what kills them. They're 31st in turnover margin. However, they're playing Carolina, who's 20th. So, and, you know, that's what hurts them. I expect Cousins to play well. This is the kind of game that he typically does. And when you look defensively, I think Minnesota can stop the run if they run it. I mean, last week, Frank Reich called 58 passes with Andy Dalton, a quarterback. I'm not sure I understand why that is.
I think we're all still wondering on that one. We will see Bryce Young back in the starting lineup for the Carolina Panthers after Dalton was the starter last week. Young dealing with the ankle injury, and also maybe it was a good chance for Young to sort of just slow things down and see things from the sidelines because it did look like our guy has a little bit the head spinning in those first couple of games there, and it's hard to blame him. I mean, there's not a whole lot of separation from those receivers. The line can't really protect, and it's just like, man, I got to protect myself some way somehow. And he had the ankle issue, but he's back out there behind center for the Carolina Panthers. But get this, Michael. Here's this nice little trend that our producer Elliot Bowman put into the rundown. When two winless teams play, the underdog is 71-37-4 against the spread over the last 20 years. So maybe there's reason to back Carolina in this one, although you might have to plug your nose if you're going to go ahead.
Let me throw one out to you. When the number's at 5, historically, over a bunch of games, the team laying the 5 is 62% the winner.
How about that? It looks like there's a trend for every angle.
That has nothing to do with who the teams are. Just when you look at the number, you know, that's why when we talk about sharps playing numbers, they're playing numbers based on this code that this algorithm that has all these games have gotten thrown into. What is the outcome? So, you know, what does 3 mean? What does 2.5 mean? you know, 2.5 is a really good number for the team laying it, as opposed to 2.5 being the home team getting it. And it's all based on that. When you're a road team laying 5, 62% of the time, you cover that number.
Well, there's a trend for every friend that we have out here. And if you like that trend, you go ahead and bet the Minnesota Vikings.
I'll one-up your trend. You one-up my trend. We'll just keep going back and forth on trends. And you know what we'll get to? Nowhere. No. We'll get nowhere.
And then we right back to square one.
We're right back where we were.
Speaking of 2.5, the Cincinnati Bengals are 2.5-point favorites in Nashville today against the Tennessee Titans. Total sitting at 41.5. Burrow did not aggravate the calf, so it sounds like he's good. He had a full week of practice. How do you see this game playing out in a matchup that we've seen quite a bit over the last handful of years?
You know, everybody talks about how bad Tennessee's defense is, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tennessee's offense is. And they're right. They are bad. But when you look at the numbers, I mean, this offensive rating, when you do the offensive rating, Cincinnati actually has a worse offense. They're worse in the red zone. Third down, they're 30th. You know, points per play offensively, they're 30th. Tennessee's 28th. You know, points per play offensively, they're 30th. Tennessee's 26th. So they're even in terms of how bad they both are on offense. And yet, you know, the road team is giving 2.5. And I think this is where Vrabel – now, look, I think Tannehill has played poorly. It just shows you how bad Levis must be Willis must be, because they're not making a move to put him in. I mean, and they can't get anything done. They have no explosive plays. But I do like Tennessee's defense. I think they're physical. And Burrow's going to have to prove he can throw the ball from a tight pocket. They're going to have to do a better job of protecting him. And so 2.5 to me, you know, the way that Cincinnati has moved the football offensively, I think is a problem. I really do. I think this will be a close game. And look, anytime you get Vrabel to give you points, why not?
What do you think of this Tennessee secondary, though? Because we've seen their secondary be taken advantage of earlier throughout this regular season here. And last week, I mean, we were lauding Deshaun Watson about how this is the best he's looked since he's been a Cleveland Brown after struggling in the first couple of games. Burrow and those receivers, if Burrow is right, I think that Cincinnati can find a lot of success dealing with that Tennessee secondary.
You're assuming he's right, though. I mean, I don't think he's right. Yeah. I don't think he can drive the ball.
That's fair.
I don't think he can drive the ball. I mean, points per play defensively, Tennessee's 18th in the league. The Bengals are 20th. Third down defense, the Tennessee Titans are 12th. The Bengals are 21st. Sack per play, they're 10th. I mean, this defense, yeah, you can move the football on them, but it's hard to score on them.
Well, we'll continue to break down the Week 4 slate on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VSiN. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out here on a Week 4 Sunday in the NFL regular season. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. We do have action. Big play here for the Atlanta Falcons, up against it, facing a 3rd and 14, down 10 late in the third quarter here in London. And looks like that play will be blown dead for a false start. So that's going to make it 3rd and 19. You can see where that drive is headed here. Atlanta looked like it was a promising drive, got to the midfield area, but I would anticipate that they're going to punt this football back.
Well, you could see Arthur Smith was going to play it safe. He tried to throw a bubble screen out there. You know, he wasn't going to really risk an injury. You know, again, this is his second possession. He knows he gets 5 unless he can get a turnover. So he needs to be careful. His defense is playing much better, but they're on that thin line. I mean, if this gets to 24, it's going to be almost impossible for him to win. So, you know, and you get in a 3rd and 14, that's really the issue. A negative play creates that. So, you know, you want to throw something safe, but you also want to throw something that maybe you can get a chance to convert at 3rd and 19. They're going to play soft zone and make them dump the ball in front. And that they're going to rally to the tackler and try to get it up there. I mean, now he's got to hold the ball, exactly what just happened. So now you're off the field. It's hard to do that. 3rd and 19 is hard to convert when you rush 3 and everybody plays the zone and watches the quarterback.
Well, we do have the actives and inactives rolling out right now as well across the league. Yeah. A big
it's 11:30 already, Femi? Like,
man,
time flies with you. We're having fun.
This show is flying. Like you put a game on for us here. We're talking ball. Mm-hmm. Like this thing has been flying by. I was like, man, we got two segments left. But Denver Broncos star safety Justin Simmons is inactive once again. So Simmons inactive, yeah, and maybe that's why it's.
I think we anticipated that. Yeah. I think everybody anticipated that. That's not a surprise. This Denver defense is beat up. I mean, they're not good to begin with, but they're beat up. I haven't seen Randy Gregory hasn't been able to put any pressure on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they missed Jones, who signed. I mean, Zach Allen, they replaced Jones with Zach Allen. He hasn't been able to. But this Bears offensive line is problematic as well. So, you know, if you're Sean Payton, you're returning home, you grew up in Chicago, this is a big moment for you. You got to get this team back on track. And you have to be able to figure out a way to do it. And I think the way to do it is to control the football and, you know, basically control the game and the pace of the game and not turn the ball over, because you'll move the football. There's no question you'll move the ball. Everybody can move the ball in Chicago. Chicago lives on turnovers, and they've only created two thanks to Blaine Gabbert.
Some other notable actives and inactives. Jordan Poyer, we anticipated this one. They ruled him out yesterday, mm-hmm. but officially inactive, meaning that DeMar Hamlin is active for the Buffalo Bills. So awesome to see DeMar Hamlin back out there on a football field. Hopefully, hoping for the best for that young man after everything that he went through last season here. Go make a play today. That would be really cool, I think, for DeMar Hamlin there. He's officially active.
Excuse me, Femi. I think the big inactive, I don't know if you've seen the Rams inactive list, but I think this is, we haven't talked about the Rams-Colts mm-hmm. game. But this gives us an opportunity to me, this is an important. If Alaric Jackson doesn't dress, he has a hamstring. He did not practice on Wednesday. You know, that's going to change how they play their offensive line, how they configure it. And I think that could be, you know, that could be something problematic. This game has gone back between pick'em. It's pick'em in the contest. Now the Rams are favored by one. But I think you really got to take a close look at what the Rams' inactive list will be, because they're not going to be able to move and maneuver around. They don't have any depth at all, right? But I will say this about the Rams. For not having any depth, Stafford has played pretty well. I mean, you have to almost dismiss that game in the fourth quarter against them, because in all honesty, it was really when they went to Zach Thomas, it got ugly. It's just like when Baltimore went to Mauger and when he started there, it was ugly for Lamar. Left tackles are damn near impossible to replace, which leads us to Houston mm-hmm. and Pittsburgh. Now, we see this a lot of action coming in on Houston. Well, Houston's lost two left tackles.
Yeah.
I don't know how Houston blocks them. I really don't. Like, I'm surprised this line's moving away from Pittsburgh to Houston. Yes, I know C.J. Stroud played well last week. I know that. But you're going to have to block this front, and I don't know how they're going to do it.
We talked about the Texans in the offseason. I said that I was bullish on them being much more competitive than I thought the market thought, but this is a little bit of a step too far, in my opinion. Like the people are really bullish on them in this particular spot, and those injuries, as you outlined, Laremy Tunsil, their star left tackle, he's out. Josh Jones, their left guard, he's out. They already have Titus Howard on IR.
He played left tackle, though, Femi.
Yeah.
Femi, he shifted out to left tackle. See, he went out to left tackle for the last couple games, and now he's no longer playing.
It's like they have a number of starters on that offensive line out, and you might be asking yourself, well, why does that matter? Well, it matters when you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they have a former defensive player of the year in T.J. Watt on the other side, and Alex Highsmith, his pass rushing buddy, who's also really good as well, going after C.J. Stroud. So I don't understand the line move. I'm seeing right now we're sitting at 3 across the board, but even the threes are heavily juiced in favor of Houston, to where it almost looks like we might be headed to 2.5.
It was 2.5. It's 2.5 in the contest. It's been 2.5 pretty much all week. It hasn't moved. So there was some Pittsburgh action coming in. But to me, you know, even when they play with George Fant, Shaq Mason was on the injury report this week as well. Look, this is going to be a hard game. They're not going to run the ball on Pittsburgh, and they're going to have a hard time making plays against Pittsburgh on a consistent basis without getting holding penalties, which will really be a problem for them. Everybody's worried about, you know, the Pittsburgh offense, but I think Pittsburgh offense against the defense, I think Pittsburgh can make some plays against them. So I like Pittsburgh a lot here.
Yeah.
I think there's been an overreaction to this market. I think this should be more of a 4-point line than it is. And you're getting 2.5. In some shops, you may get 3.
Yeah.
I think it's something to consider.
Yeah, if you can find a 2.5 on the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that's a bet here. I've been searching for the Rams inactives. They still haven't put them out yet. It's 8:36 West Coast time, 11:36 over there on the East Coast, and the Rams still have yet to put out their inactives. But we have the Colts inactives. They're down a couple of starters on the offensive line, Ryan Kelly and Bernard Raymond, their left tackle. So the Colts dealing with some O-line injuries of their own right there. And that market right now is the Rams 1-point favorites total sitting at 45. But Elliot, I don't know if we want to look ahead and search and see if you can find the Rams inactives, but I have yet to be able to find them so far here this morning, as the actives inactives were due, I thought, at 90 minutes prior to kickoff. But I guess
they are.
The Rams,
we haven't gotten them up. Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Well, they'll come out. I mean, you have to turn them in.
Yeah. It's like, hey,
you can't say the dog ate the homework, Femi. You can't do that one.
Hey, we need these damn actives and inactives. On the Baltimore Ravens front, we did talk about them in the first hour. Ronnie Stanley is inactive, but we anticipated that going in. He was listed as doubtful heading into this weekend. Inactive
he's
for a third doubtful. Straight game.
Yeah, I mean, he's the highest paid player on their team in terms of eating the cap, and he doesn't play. I mean, it's really remarkable. And they went to Patrick Macari. I mean, and that's just not going to work. I don't know what they're going to do there. Will they move Morgan Moses over to left tackle and put the kid from Minnesota in there, Falele, because he can play right tackle. Mm-hmm. But this line's beat up. At least they get Linderbaum back at center, yep, which helps against this front. I mean, you don't have a left tackle against this front. And what we've seen from Schwartz is he basically decides who he thinks the weak link of your offensive line is. So when you watch Cleveland tape or you watch their game, wherever he lines Garrett up on a critical play in the game, that tells you what he thinks of your offensive lineman. He thinks that's the worst lineman, okay? Mm-hmm. So when against Cincinnati, he covered up the two guards and he put Garrett over Ted Karras. Smart move. Ted Karras, tough kid. Play in a phone booth, but if he's got to block somebody, two-way go, not so good. Last week, they moved him around. You know, they moved him all over the place to get the right look. And even though he was getting doubled all the time, it didn't work. So, you know, for me, this is going to be the issue here. It's going to be how can Baltimore – I mean, if Macari, if he has to play at left tackle, he's going to get nothing but Myles Garrett every single play. And you could say, well, we'll chip him. Not so fast. It's hard to do it.
Yeah, well, good luck to Patrick Macari, because right now Jameson Hensley of ESPN covers the Baltimore Ravens. He said the projected starting line is Macari will be at left tackle, Morgan Moses will be at right tackle. So it looks like it's going to be a healthy dosage of Myles Garrett coming at Patrick Macari. And to that, we wish
the tight end's going to be lined up over to the left the whole game.
Yeah.
But look, let me tell you something. If that's the case, if they want to give him help over there and they want to, you know, they'll just put Garrett over against Morgan Moses. It ain't like he can block him.
No, yeah, he definitely cannot. Not many people in the NFL can block Myles Garrett. You can definitely count it on one hand. It's how many people can block him. On the Miami Dolphins front here for their offensive line, Teron Armstead, he is in. Connor Williams is out, and it looks like Liam Eichenberg will work at center for the Dolphins. Jalen Phillips, of course, their pass rusher, he is inactive for this game, but we knew that heading in. So those are the inactives for the Miami Dolphins game. Derek Carr officially active here in this game. The market has been moving on a number of these games. Those fives in Carolina have been bet. We're down to 4.5 now across the board here with the Vikings and the Panthers. Also, the total in the Bears-Broncos game, that has gone up to 47 across the board. People betting that over, and people are liking the under between Miami and Buffalo. We are now down to 52.5 across the board here. 53 looks like it's the consensus, actually, but that total is ticking down. We'll recap all of it on the other side as we run down the board to wrap up the show here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures, bets, awards, picks, and season-long props. First period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. A little choked up there at the end. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Jacksonville goes ahead and takes a 20-7 lead, kicking the field goal with that spot. Did you think that he was going to go on 4th and 5? I thought he was going to go for that one.
No, I think 4th and 5, he wouldn't know. If it was 4th and 1, I think he definitely would have. I mean, Lawrence had a flush from the pocket to his right. He had a receiver wide open for a touchdown over to his left, but he had to get off of it. Dupree had a good rush against the left tackle, kind of forced him out and forced him to scramble, and then he just missed the throw down the field. So, look, you know, you're Atlanta. You're in great shape. Field goal's meaningless. You got two scores. Mm-hmm. You're two scores down. You can win the game 21-20. So you're gonna have to make this drive work. You got two more possessions typically. You can get three, it would be strange, but the way they almost ran 5 minutes off that clock. So the game's a 10-minute game now, and there's no margin for error. You've got to go fast so you can put pressure on the Jacksonville offense to decide, do they eat clock or do they get first down? So they're in that 4-minute mode here. So if you're Doug Peterson, you're on the sideline talking about, okay, we're going to get the ball back. We're going to take the play clock down like we did in the last drive. We're going to have to really do a good job on first downs, get ahead of the chains. What are my best first down calls where I can control the ball but also control the clock? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to reduce this game as much as possible because the clock is our opponent, and we got to hold on to this lead, which is nebulous at 13 points with 10 minutes to go.
Well, the live spread is the Jaguars favored by 12.5, and the total is at 34.5. But just to get people,
I think the Falcons are going to score again. I mean, they could score. Yeah, I mean, if they score, because now all of a sudden that Jacksonville's going to play to keep the lead. But when you're only up 6, you have to be a little bit more aggressive. Mm-hmm. If Atlanta scores, Jacksonville has to operate in kind of a conflicting way. You've got to try to score again, but you also got to run clock.
Well, we'll see how this drive goes for the Atlanta Falcons. Update people on the Rams situation. We did get their actives and inactives posted. Alaric Jackson, their left tackle, is inactive. And also Zach Thomas, yeah, who replaced him, also inactive as well. So the Rams beat up on the offensive line in a game against the Indianapolis Colts. And we will get you the latest numbers on that here shortly. But let's go ahead and run down the board, Michael, starting with the Dolphins and the Bills. Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite over at DraftKings, total 53.
I really like Miami here. I think Miami will play well. I think Miami, look, I like Buffalo's team too, but I think this Miami offense, especially in only week 4, is a challenge to stop right now, especially if they're willing to run the football, which I think they will. I think this will be a run game for Miami more than a passing game.
All right, we'll see what the Miami Dolphins can do. No play for me in this one. Let's go to Carolina, where the Panthers are a 5-point home underdog. 4.5 seems to be the consensus now. Total 46.5.
I really like Minnesota. I gave it to Bill AD as a pick. I like it at 4.5. I like it at 5. I think this is one of those where you know, I think Minnesota's they're hurting right now because they are in a situation where, you know, they haven't won a game, and this is the time to win a game. And I don't think Carolina has come back well at all. So I really like Minnesota. Although I didn't give this to Bill AD. I'm sorry. I gave it to McAfee on his show. I like this line at 4.5 during the week. I still like it at 5.
How about the other battle of 0-3s? The Chicago Bears, a 3-point home underdog, total 47 against the Denver Broncos.
You know, I think I'll take Denver and lay the 3. I don't trust Chicago, especially in the fourth quarter if they have to throw it. I think it'll be a close game, but I'm going to take the better quarterback. I'll take the better offense in the game. And if they protect the ball, I think Denver will get their first win.
No Deshaun Watson for the Cleveland Browns. It'll be Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie out of UCLA, making the start here against the Baltimore Ravens, led by Lamar Jackson. The market has flipped favorites. Baltimore, a 2-point road favorite now, total 38.5.
Yeah, I think I lay the points here. I think Baltimore's got the, you know, you got to go quarterback here, right? These are going to be tight games against good defense. I'll take Baltimore, lay the 2. It's going to be hard for Robinson, although he will run the football. We saw that this summer. He's very good, and if Baltimore doesn't protect their rush lanes, he will run. He could be their leading rusher in the game.
And Baltimore will be down 2 of their rushers, David Ajabo and Adafe Owe. Both those guys are inactive for the Ravens here in this game. I bet Baltimore +3, but that helps nobody right now in this spot. I would also lay anything under the field goal, though, with the Ravens. Steelers and the Texans. Pittsburgh, a 3-point favorite, total 41.5.
Well, I like Pittsburgh a lot here. I think Pittsburgh's the better team. I think Pittsburgh's defense will win the game. I think they'll take it over and they'll create turnovers. Pittsburgh doesn't turn the ball over. I think they cover the spread. I think Pittsburgh will really take advantage of a backup offensive line for the Houston Texans. And I think they'll move the football once they get used to it. Remember, they played San Francisco style of defense in week one. And they now have an understanding of how they need to do it, how they need to execute, and I think they will.
Yeah, this is my first contest play. I went ahead and laid 2.5 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this is a mismatch in the trenches here just because Houston is absolutely banged up, going up against one of the toughest pass rushers in the league and the toughest pass rusher in TJ Watt. The Rams are a 1-point road favorite in Indianapolis, total 44.5.
I think I'll take the Colts here just because I think the Rams' offensive line is beat up, and the Colts can rush the passer. Now, Buckner, supposedly, he's going to play. He was on the injury list all week for the Colts, their star defensive tackle. But these edges should give Stafford some trouble. And remember, bad offensive lines don't travel.
Yeah, it's a no play for me. I don't have a good read on either of these teams. I'll sit back and watch it and collect data. The next game, the Buccaneers are at the Saints in the NFC South. Derek Carr will play after he had the AC joint injury last week. Saints 4-point favorites, total 41.
I think I like the Saints here. I liked it better. You know, you have to take the Bucs and the points here. Bucs beat them twice last year with Brady. But I think the Saints with Kamara coming back is going to be a good situation for them. But this Bucs defense is pretty good. Their secondary is just beat up. So if Carr's healthy, I favor the Saints. I think I'll lay the points with the Saints only because of that. But I don't trust Baker Mayfield, especially on the road.
Yeah, we're going opposite on this one. I took the points with the Bucs in the contest plus 3.5, so obviously I still like it at plus 4. And it's just a fate of Dennis Allen. I'm going to make him beat me. If he can go ahead and beat me by margin, I'll tip my cap. But until then, let's see you do it. Let's go to Philadelphia, where the Eagles 9-point home favorites against the Commanders, total 43.
I think I'd kick the 9. I think these games tend to be tight, and I don't trust Washington and their coaching and their young quarterback, but their defense has to play better. If Washington, now the new owner, also owns the 76ers, I mean, I fully expect he wants to play well in Philadelphia. And, you know, if they can't stay 9 points close to this game, then they got real issues.
Yeah, I took the points with the Commanders just as my own bet. I didn't play it in the contest, but I do have money on this one with the Washington Commanders at plus 8.5. Bengals 2.5-point favorites in Tennessee, total 41.5.
I'm going to take Tennessee. I like Tennessee. I like Vrabel as a home dog. And I don't think Burrow's back at all.
All right. Well, I went ahead and laid 2 in the contest with the Bengals. Hopefully Burrow's back. Otherwise, if he's not, this one can get a little bit dicey. In the afternoon slate, the Chargers are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Aiden O'Connell expected to be the starter for the Raiders. Chargers 6.5-point favorites, total 48.
I'll take the Raiders in the 6.5. I have a special interest. Happy birthday to my oldest son, Nick, today. He turns 35. Hopefully they'll call a good game. But I think the Raiders will run the ball. I worry about their defense, but 6.5 is a lot. I'll take the Vegas. I think O'Connell plays well today.
I agree with you. I took 5.5 in the contest. I also sprinkled a little bit on the money line. I'm big on this Aiden O'Connell thing. I think the Raiders keep this thing close and maybe perhaps pull off the upset. Cowboys hosting the Patriots. Dallas 6-point favorites, total 43.
I think I'll take the Patriots in the 6. I think the Patriots will play this game close. They played everybody close. They're going to have to make some plays. I know I'm going against the trend, 0-11 with Mac Jones covering the spread. It's problematic, but I do think they match up well to Dallas.
No play for me in this one. I'll just be rooting on the Cowboys. Cardinals at the 49ers. Niners 14-point favorites, total 43.5.
You know, I mean, the Cardinals have played so hard. I'm going to take the 14. I'll lay the 14. I think San Francisco, with all the rest they've had, I think they now understand what they're doing. Arizona wants to do defensively, and the longer this game goes, I think San Francisco defense takes over.
I agree. The Chiefs are in the Meadowlands. Taylor Swift also in the Meadowlands. Kansas City, 8-point favorites, total 41.5 against the Jets.
Yeah, I don't trust the Jets. I'll take Kansas City and lay the points. I mean, I don't see where the Jets are going to get their offense. I think they'll score 10, but this is the best defense that they faced all year, and they've only scored 10 points.
Yeah, I don't have a play in this game, but if I had to, I would go ahead and play the Kansas City Chiefs. Just to recap, Michael's week 4 picks, Dolphins plus 3, Steelers laying the 2.5, Giants plus the 1. We will get your Monday Night Football analysis tomorrow. My analysis, I like Giants in the pick'em there on the contest. So I have Giants pick'em in the contest as my 5th and final play. That does it for us. Any words of advice here as we wrap this thing up here, Michael?
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy a fall day in football.
All right. That does it for us here. Thanks, for Michael Lombardi, for our producer Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass. We wish you all the best of luck. Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff coming up next.